jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it. See?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, yeah, feeling a little bit overwhelmed here today. Back in the saddle, back down here inside my underground bunker, safely tucked in inside the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. Glad to be back home. Had a great, we had a great getaway from the show. Well, that's not true. It rained a lot on the boat. I've never been on a cruise, and neither one of us had ever been on a cruise, and cruising experience. Talked a little bit about that yesterday, so I don't want to get too deep in it. I got worn out last night. Those little grandbabies, Michelle and I got home, and we went up, and all the family came over, and man, they wore me out. That's a good wear out, man. Good way to be able to go to sleep. So, you get away, and I guess I'm a simple guy, you know. In a lot of ways, I'm a really, really simple guy. And I spoke yesterday about being on the boat and all the flesh that was on that boat and the glamour. Somebody said one of those boats costs $1 billion with a B dollars. And I believe that. But just something really cool about driving up the driveway and walking in your house, dog coming up and jumping on you, and the cat going running around my legs. And good to be home. Good to be home. So I guess vacations are good for vacations, but it's good to be home. And I want to thank Mark Trump for last Friday and Pastor Dale Socia for Monday covering the show for us. Do appreciate it. I stayed up last night. I don't want to get into politics. Okay, I don't want today to be politics. Although I don't know how we can avoid some of it. I did watch the State of the Union last night. Odd. I put it up on. We don't have TV in our, well, we certainly don't have it in our bedroom. They say it's the best way to ruin a marriage is to have a TV in your bedroom. So we don't have one. And I just watched last night and just, you know, it's really amazing to me. Not that the Republicans are the good guys, okay? But man, the left, the God-hating left is really, really being exposed. Really being exposed. And I was saying just before we went on the air here, one of the things that's really incredible about it is I guess for some reason they have the left, the Democrats left, they've cast their lot with deviancy. Deviancy. Their constituency now is nothing more than a conglomerate of minorities that are thrown together. But they must know something that we don't know, because they certainly are. They're trying to. They've been able to make a winning combination out of that, out of all these minorities cucked together the way they do. I don't know. I sat there and I watched and said to my wife as I elbowed her, she's trying to stay awake and watch. I said, how could we be in a country where Nancy Pelosi could have any influence at all in what goes on? How could that woman, how could people follow her? What does it tell us about the other representatives in them? In the Democratic Party that would elect that lady as their leader, the face of their party. She's the face of their party right now. You understand that? How can that possibly be? And again, I'm not going to get into Republican Democrat, because if you watch this show at all, you know, it's bigger than that. We're seeing the face of the evil, folks, like I ain't never seen. And I don't know if you guys, I'm not going to get into it today, but I'll tell you this. It's been about a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, I started to warn all of you guys about the war on the white guy. Huh? Did anybody see this? I didn't get it ready, Jared. I don't know if you can find it. The Michael Moore rant. I was able to catch some of that yesterday. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. That you're able to say about a white man what you could never say about a black man. You could never say that there's too many blacks. You could never say that. You could never say that we need to eliminate the homosexuals. You could never say that. Or how about this one? How about if we started talking, instead of white privilege, what if we began to talk about Jewish privilege? Oh, my goodness. You could never talk about that.
Warning.
I'm giving you a warning, man. There's something crazy. There's a devil loose. Although, right-wing watch YouTube, that's the face that they'll put up on our video this morning. We live in perilous times, man. I'm telling you. And I think that a lot of this unhingedness is, right-wing watch, you ready for this? There's a war in heaven, man. There's a war going on in the heavens. And I believe that war that's going on in the heavenlies is impacting people in the natural realm. They don't even know that they're going to be impacted by it. I want to give you a fair warning here. Might want to text somebody, or you might want to get out. Doesn't matter. I'm going to talk a little bit today about, I'm going to call for a fast, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. Why fasting is important, why it matters. So we're going to get into that a little bit here. And hopefully some of you out there are going to join us on this fast as we get into it. But I got to bring something else up today. I'm going to introduce this and then I'm going to come back to it. All of you out there, we are working on the ordination process, by the way. We are working on it. And I had an opportunity this weekend, when I was on the plane, spent a lot of time. I'm a speed reader. Not bragging. I just had the ability to, I pull all the ands and the thes and the buts. I just zoom past it for some reason. The Lord's given me that gift to be a speed reader. And so on the plane, I thought, I haven't read this book in a while. I think maybe I'll take this with me and read it again. And this is going to be, I would suggest anybody who is going to be ordained, wants to be ordained, I suggest that you read this book, Pagan Christianity. Now, it was written by Frank Viola, who has passed away, and George Barna. George Barna is the researcher. And this book was published in, I've read it a long time ago. I hadn't read it in 10, 12 years. And so I read it again. I thought, oh my goodness, this is the stuff that we talk about on the queue every day. This is it. Pagan Christianity. And it's about the pagan roots of what we do in church. Now, listen, this isn't the Bible. This is George Barna's, June 2007, that's when this book was published. This isn't the Bible. But you ever wonder why we do what we do? You ever stop and think, golly, why do we do that? Why do we have Lent? Why do we celebrate Easter? Why are all these church service, every church service you ever walk into, why are they always the same? Where did the altar come from? I'm trying to think of a good word to use. Why do all the denominations wear those funny robes? And those backward collars. And who came up with the idea that the church would be driven by the guy in the pulpit? Where did that idea come from? And the idea of the eldership, all that stuff. It's all in pagan Christianity. Now understand this. It's trying to help us understand, turn this way, again, see the screen here, to understand the pagan roots of so much of what we do in the church. And as I'm reading this on the plane, it's a wonder they didn't send the police after, because I'm amening. Oh my goodness, yes, Lord, yes, yes. And so I would say to anybody who is watches the show regularly and wants to be ordained, talks about ordination too, and where that process came. This is unbelievable. It's all historical. I'm going to open this up. I don't know if you can see it or not. Let me go right here. I'm going to get it real close for you. Everything's footnoted. See, when they talk about what's going on, they footnote it. Look at these footnotes right here. They tell you where they're not just making statements. They're not just giving opinions. They say, here's what's going on and here's where we found the footnote. Who started this process and who started that process and why it's now on Sunday when it should have been on Saturday. Communion. Oh my goodness. Some of this stuff will blow your mind. Pagan Christianity. You can probably find it on Amazon. You can probably find a used copy of it. You might even be able to find one of those online books. I don't know what they call those e-books. I'm going to say this. I cannot emphasize enough. Get a copy of Pagan Christianity and read it. But I have to also warn you, if you're not big boy, it's gonna shake you. Because all of these things, remember Jesus told us this to the Pharisees. He was speaking of the Pharisees. He says, you teach as commandments, heard my phone, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect, no effect. Teaching as commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Now, stay with me on this. Think about this now. Think about me raised good little, I guess you would call it a good little Catholic boy. And all the traditions of men that I was taught in the catechism and yada, yada, yada. And my mom used to stick us in Bible school when I was like 8 or 9 years old. She would go teach Bible school. So all of her kids, all five of us, we went to Bible school. And where I learned my first scripture verse, by the way, I was in Bible school. Still remember that. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding by the field, keeping watch over the flock by light. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. I memorized that in Bible school, even at that young age, just seeds being put in. But it goes beyond that, see. It goes beyond the fact that, wow, the central focus is just amazing. I'm just telling you, folks, it's amazing. And so to get back to our truly biblical root, the religion of Christianity, see, I hate to even call it a religion, but it is and has become a set of rules and things that we follow that we don't even, can't even tell anybody. It's all documented. Pagan, Christian, anybody else read that? Anybody want to amen or oh my on that one?
Amen.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's an amazing book. It's actually the first book that I've read other than the Bible when I came to Christ. And it's amazing.
It is. It's amazing. It's amazing, man. And so, you know, some of the chapters, Protestants' Most Sacred Cow, talking about the sermon. Remember, I told you that the worst thing that you could do, that I could ever do as a school teacher, was stand in front of people and lecture. We don't learn that way. We don't learn that way because our minds wander off, you know, and somebody, you know, your pastor could be in the middle of a sermon and he makes a statement in the middle of the sermon and momentarily your mind captures that thought and you want to ponder that thought a little bit. So you think about it a little bit and you might dig into the scripture and find something. And the next, you know, 5 minutes pass, you didn't even hear the rest of it. And your mind's still back 5 minutes ago and the pastor's on doing something else because he's got a sermon he's got to get done. And the church became nothing more than sermonizing. That's all it became. And people don't grow and don't learn by sermons. They're moved by them. People walk out of the church on Sunday and they feel good or they're inspired by the what the pastor told them, but they couldn't repeat it. They can't repeat what he said. It's all emotional. Almost. Yes, sir. Jump in here.
Yeah. Kevin said theater, and that's exactly what that was the best thing I got out of that book was that we're supposed to be the body, but all we are when we go into this institutional church, this building, is we are just ears, and the pastor is the mouth, and he's on a platform. And that was the most amazing part of the book for me.
I don't know if you can see that chapter or not. The pastor, obstacle to every member's functioning. An obstacle. The pastor is an obstacle. And it's not written in a mean way. It's not they're trying to show us why Christianity is so ineffective and how we have to break out of it. That's chapter 5. I'm trying to get the next one. Here's chapter. How about this one? Sunday morning costumes covering up the problem. Talking about the dress of the pastors, the people getting dressed up and where that idea came from, that you got to get dressed up. Ministers of music, clergy set the music. Oh, it's good. It's so good. The choir, everything being a performance. And as a result of it, people are sitting. Listen, they're not mad. They're not bashing church. They're trying to help people. They're trying to help them. They, listen, you got to understand what's going on. And if you don't get out of that mess, if you don't get out of that mess that you're sitting in, you're going to drown. You're going to die in it. And it's our way of doing church. So it makes all of us really, really, really uncomfortable. I'm looking for one more pagan Christianity. How about this? The order of worship. the order of Sunday worship set in concrete. It is, man. I got to get off that. Pagan Christianity. So if you are, if you're one of those who wants to be ordained, boy, this is really good on ordination. Really good on ordination. You know that's nowhere in the Bible? Nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. Only twice in the entire scriptures is the word pastor, is the pet word pastor ever appear. Only twice. And it's a misinterpretation of what the pastor was supposed to be. The total and completely misses. And it shows us how in the early Catholic Mass, the center of the worship service was the Eucharist. And so when the Reformation came and Catholicism started to get reformed, but Protestant, whatever that is, broke out of it, they changed the center of the service from the Eucharist to the sermon. Now, the sermon is the focus of every time you walk into church, the sermon is the focus. And the problem we run into, as I said, is we don't know in the church who are we ministering to. Are we ministering to the saved or to the lost? Well, which one? Folks, this is all spelled. It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Okay, cool. Y'all with me?
Absolutely, brother.
Okay, real quickly, let's just throw this out there because I am so far behind on everything that's going on. I'm more and more convinced, as the scriptures tell us, that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I just have, even though I was away for 5 days and paid $15 a day for my internet, it didn't really work. And I'm really kind of behind on the things that are going on in the world. There's an upheaval. There's an earth. It's like that boat. Can't you feel the rocking? Can't you guys feel it? Can't you feel it? I think even the lost understand, boy, something is really going on. Oh, before I forget, Kevin Bushy's running for Congress. Are you in here, Sarge?
Sarge,
I saw that yesterday. Sarge
is... No, house seat. I'm not going that far up.
local, state. Is that what it is, Sarge? Local?
State house.
State house. Cool. Well, good, man. Good. Maybe some of us can get out there and hand out some flyers and do some walking for you. That's good stuff. Because I'll let the cat out of the bag. I was considering doing this for a while. I was considering trying to get about 10 of you guys out there to run for Congress. Yeah. And we would have run as a Salt and Light Brigade taking the trip back. We probably wouldn't have won. We'd got all kinds of national attention and we would have made the Republicans nervous. But I salute Sarge because we can't just whine and moan and complain. We've got to get involved. We have to get involved. And, you know, I know Kevin's heart is really for what's going on there in Maine. And he's a guy whose eyes are opened and thinks that, you know, a guy like him ought to be in position to do it. So, Sarge, God bless you, man.
Having walked down that road, I will tell you right now, if you think you're going to win by non-traditional campaigning, forget it.
Right.
The enemy has the game locked up. You have to play their game or you don't have a
chance. And something else. My buddy Jeff's in here today. I see him. Jeff's running for county commissioner. Here's one of the things. I'm going to talk about fasting. Hang with me. Here's one of the problems that we have. We're too honest. I was talking to my buddy Jeff, again, who's going to run for an office locally here in Ohio. And Jeff was, you know, loves the Lord, leads us across, unashamed of the gospel. We need Christ back in this. And I'm with him. But I told him, Jeff, don't be saying that. Because fake Christians don't want a guy like you. You hear me, Sarge? When I ran for Congress back in 2010, I put this on all of my signs. Coach Dave for Congress with my cross hat. I thought, well, heck, Christians will vote. That'll catch the eye of Christians. There are 8 people running. I said, I only need about 1 out of every 5 votes. I don't need about 20%. If just the Christians will vote. But you know what? We've been so convinced. Well, we've been so convinced that there's a separation between the church and state that the Christians say, "Oh, we can't have a religious guy like that. We can't have that." And so that's what you're up against. So I said to Jeff, "Hey, Jeff, just soften your message. Just be a phony Christian like the rest of them. Don't say too much." Because the object is to get in there and win. Get in there and win.
Then you can do all you want.
You win. Right. Then you can do something. But if you telegraph what you want to do, the God haters are going to come out against you. Not only are the God haters, but some of the people sitting in the church do not want godly values. Have you folks understood that yet? Have you understood the fact that some people think bad's better? Bad is good? That the worse it gets, the sooner we're going to get out of here? Have you guys come to that realization yet?
We saw it last night.
That there are some people, they're not interested in saving the culture. They're not interested in godly people running for office. They're not interested in any of that. So, put on your Secret Service hat and run as an undercover Christian. Here, Jeff, I'll send you this one.
That's it.
Put this hat on. Put on your undercover. Go in undercover. Get in there, and when you win, then you can stand up and be a Christian. Then you can stand up. I'll leave that one on. That's what I think. So, Sarge, good. God bless you, man. God bless you. Anybody, good as a group, jump in, because I'm gonna go somewhere. I gotta check my notes, make sure there wasn't something that I missed. And I'm gonna do that. Oh, I gotta show this. Hey, Jared, go real quickly. This is Pep. I looked all morning today. I couldn't find it. You know, they had a pain-capable abortion ban nationally they're trying to get passed. Pain-capable. Now, listen, you guys understand incrementalism?
Yeah.
Incrementalism, 1 inch at a time, right?
Is the border fraud?
We have played incrementalism with abortion for 45 years. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, any bill in pro-life circles, any bill that says, and then you can kill the baby, is not a pro-life bill. I'm sorry, it's just not a pro-life bill. 3-day waiting period, and then you can kill the baby. Parental notification, and then you can kill the baby. Go on. 20-week, and then you can kill the baby. Pain-capable, then you can kill the baby. Now we have born alive infant acts. In other words, they're born alive, you can't kill them. I mean, we're so ghoulish, right? We're so crazy. We're so stinking crazy. And so we just had before the House and the Senate a 20-week ban on abortion. 20-week abortion ban, which it failed, 51 to 46, I think it was. And that's just murder. And a 20-week, 5 months, and kill a baby up to 5 months. You know, it was interesting to see that 16 Catholics voted against the bill to regulate abortion. They didn't vote against the bill because they wanted to do away with abortion. No, no. They voted it because they wanted to, I don't know. How can you not protect a baby? 20 weeks, 5 months. And that shows how far our side has fallen, that now we're drawing the line at 20 weeks. Well, if we can just save them. If we can save the ones over 5 months, we've accomplished something. And I guess we have. We can't even do that. We can't even defund Planned Parenthood. So I want to show you real quickly, Jared. I hit the wrong button over here. This is like a 30-second in vitro. That's what it said, baby in utero, Jared. And I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. But I think it's awesome for us to see. Let me find it here, Jared. There you go. This is a 20-week. These are the babies that we want to try, the pro-life movement trying to protect. This is how far we've fallen, right? This is how far we've fallen. And we tell people we won't even protect these. We'll protect illegal immigrants. We'll protect everything else. So I guess I won't say that. Okay, Jared, this is just a 20-second little video clip there. I want you all to be able to see this. Ultrasound, astonishing new video. It's an ultrasound. I want you to see what abortion really is. Boy, Jared, I thought it was right there.
I don't think Jared's
looking for it. I thought it was just click on it. Where is this thing? There it is, maybe. Keep going, Jared. Well, heck. That's not it. What the heck? Yeah, it's on that page, Jared. That's where I saw it. I think maybe, Jared, you can click on it. It says an astonishing new video. Maybe that's where it says it. Top. No, you clicked on that. And that's what you got. Yeah, watch. I hate it when this happens. Now, Jared, I watched it the other day. Jared will find it. Okay. Cool. He's still looking. Why? Well, see, why? This is what I hate about the internet. Watch best pro-life video ever, and then where do you find it? Just put it there so we can see it, will you? There it is. I think it's it. Here we go. Look at this. This is 25-month-old baby. We can't even get legislation passed to save these things. Watch this. You guys see that? Blob of tissue.
Amazing.
Wow, that's life in the beginning.
Is that unbelievable?
The Democrats scream about the dreamers, but what about these little ones dreams?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, you know, Dale, I've also made this point that I'll never forget when our oldest daughter, Abby, blew out her knee in senior in high school. And she had to go have total knee reconstruction. Before the doctor would do it, they sent home a video for her to watch, video of the surgery. Now, shouldn't a woman have to look at that before? Shouldn't that be a requirement that a woman have to go in and see that before she killed her baby?
We're
wicked, man. We are a wicked, wicked people. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of you guys may not find this sexy, but I find it sexy. So we're going to talk about fasting. And I'd like some of you out there to, I'm starting a fast. Tomorrow's February 1st. I'm going to begin a fast tomorrow. And I never set, I don't want this to sound too religious. I make fasting a regular part of my life. 3-day fast sometimes a week, sometimes go on and on. Some of you out there saying, what? You go a week? Yeah. And I got some scriptures here that I want to be able to share with you. I want to share some personal testimony. Okay, the two greatest I read somewhere the two greatest desires that a man has is to eat and reproduce. Two greatest natural desires. You think about men. What do they get hooked on? They get hooked on pornography because that desire to reproduce is so strong in a man. And understand that whether we totally understand this or not, says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The actual struggle that takes place within a person in your everyday walk with temptation and be making yourself strong. And I remember that. I always heard the scripture misquoted, and not misquoted, but misinterpreted. Jared, I just want to see this one real quick. Matthew 26, Jared. Jesus is in the garden. And I want to show you something I think is, stay with me, because I'm going to call some of you to join me on this fast, okay? And some of you may fast a lunch. Some of you may fast ice cream. I remember when I was a young kid, we had Lent, which of course is a pagan ritual, but we celebrated Lent. You know, I was just down in St. Louis, New Orleans, down there with Pastor Dale. I'm getting ready to come into Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is around Lent. Is it not, Pastor Dale? Isn't that when Mardi Gras begins, the celebration of the pagan idea of Lent that the church adopted? And so we used to, when I was a kid, we gave up on our family. We ate popcorn about every night. My dad made popcorn. We gave up popcorn for Lent. We went 40 days without popcorn. Then when Easter Sunday would come, Dad make a big bowl of popcorn for us on Sunday night. I have very vivid memories of that. But it's a misunderstanding and a misapplication of what the fast, the sacrifice, is supposed to be all about. I'm in Matthew 20. Yeah, Jesus is in the garden. And let's see, Jared. I don't want to read the whole thing. Let's start in verse 34. Go to 34. Let's go 31. Let's go 30 right there. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended. Wow, how about that? All ye shall be offended because of me tonight. How would you like to hear that from the Lord? We're going to catch it tonight, this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said, and though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Not me, Lord. I got your back. This is also in Luke 11. This is better than Luke. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, big boy. I'm going to tell you right now that three times you're going to deny me tonight. Tonight, brother. Tonight you're going to deny me three times. Peter said to him, no, I won't do that. I'm not going to deny. I never do that. And Jesus, verse 36, then came Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto them, sit here while I go in yonder and pray. He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Do you ever have a heaviness around you, folks? Ever feel that heaviness? And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. He went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's Larry always telling us to pray in the will of God. Jesus knew what was ahead of him. He said, I don't really want to do this. Lord, is there some other way? Is there some other way you can do this? And he cometh unto the disciples, and he find them asleep, and he said unto Peter, what? Couldn't you stay up an hour, dude? Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. Here's the verse I'm heading to. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, we've turned this upside down. We've turned it on its head. And we see people who fall into sin, and what do we say? Flesh is weak. Oh, that flesh is weak. That's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is telling us that the spirit is willing. Think about that. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, is willing and able to overcome any temptation. The flesh, he said, is weak, but you have got to learn to manipulate and control your flesh. There was a point I made about when we were on the boat. Everybody was just feeding their flesh. Feeding the flesh is the easiest thing to do. And we know that the scripture says, I'm not going to run to it right now because I don't have it in front of me, where Jesus said, God, I lost my train of thought. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Jesus said, this kind cometh out only through prayer and fasting. Now, I want to caution you against something right now. Number one, you don't get brownie points for fasting. The Holy Spirit isn't up there saying, oh, golly, Coach got day two. Wow, Coach is really after day three. No. Because the fast is not about the Lord. The fast is about you. The fast will give you a greater strength than you have ever had. Now, if you're out there right now and you're struggling with cigarette smoking, swearing, pornography, lust, money, the only reason you are losing those fights is because your spirit man is not strong. You have not exercised your spirit man. There is no temptation. Where is that, Jared? There is no temptation. Somebody help me out. There's no temptation that has come upon you but that which is common to man. I think we read that yesterday, didn't we? 1 Corinthians 10, maybe? Yeah, that there's no temptations come upon you but that which is common. Yeah, yes, yes. Now stay with me here. Yeah.
So what you're saying is when we fast to the thing that we can't control the most, and that's dying to the flesh at that moment?
Well, you don't necessarily – listen, it's I use this illustration. I have a weight machine over there here in my studio basement over there. The most amazing thing happened. I go over and I sit on that weight machine, and I never get any stronger. And one day my wife walked down the steps. She says, "What are you doing, honey?" I said, "Well, I'm thinking about working out." She looked at me like I was crazy. She says, "Well, put your hands on those bars and move them." I said, "What?" "Yeah, put your hands on those bars and move them. Then your muscles get strong. You don't get strong just sitting on that weight machine. You got to move the weight." And so here you are. I don't care who you are. You are fighting. You're fighting battles every day. Even sometimes you don't even know the habits you can't break. Patterns that you've fallen into that you just can't get out of them. And you know why you can't get out of them? Because you're just sitting on the weight machine. You aren't doing anything to exercise your faith. And that's why fasting, as I said, food, saying no to food is the most powerful weightlifting exercise you can do. Next to the urge for sex. They're the two greatest things. Yes.
Coach, may I add in on that? Because it is pretty good at illustration, but understanding this, fasting without prayer and reading of the scripture is nothing but a Christian diet. So when you fast, you've got to get into his word and seek his spirit, because what you're doing is you're actually building up your spirit, man, and your flesh man is dying. So
amen.
It's just a Christian calisthenic without prayer and the word in it.
That's right. Now, listen, listen to me. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, what he just said is so important, and the listening part of prayer is so important in fasting. This is one of the best things I've heard on fasting. It's so simple and short. And I just want to give a warning out there. We as Christians, we have been trained when we hear teachings and things like that. We've been trained to listen for the formula. There's no formula about fasting. There's truth.
Amen.
Formula about fasting.
Let me throw another one out at you. Now, please do not get offended. In fact, my wife, I love my wife so much. She couldn't hear yesterday's show that when I did from Pastor Dale's. And she thought I was picking on overweight people. And if that came across, she didn't hear it. If it came across as I feel bad for people that are overweight, I fight my weight. I would never ever make fun of anybody over the fact that they're, I just wouldn't. Because I know nobody wants to be in that condition. But I have to give you fair warning. Guys, hear me. You don't fast to lose weight. You don't fast to lose weight. It's a byproduct. Fasting is very, very healthy. But if your intention of your fast is to lose weight, boys, you're just on diet. You're just on a diet. You're calling them fat. Yeah, Rod.
I got a question. I think this is a powerful message, and you've taught it before, and others too. But in the church, we don't hear about defeating sin.
Right.
Hear about sin and the forgiveness. It's seen, and that Christ will forgive, which we all agree with. But it seems like it's used to control the people, when in God's word, there is a clear path to defeat sin.
Amen, now, buddy.
where within we get attacked is, well, we're all sinners and we all fall short. Who are you? But that's not
the point. Right.
In God's word and through fasting as a component of it, sin not totally can be defeated, but certain sinful actions can be defeated.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. But not if we don't understand it, Roger, and we don't learn to exercise that. See, because we've been taught that the flesh is weak, we see it as an occasion and an excuse to sin. So, well, it's weak. I mean, we all have our weak moments, brother. And I'm not denying that we have our weak moments, but daggone it, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a lot stronger spiritually today because I learned to not just sit on that weight machine. I learned to exercise my faith. I learned to put my faith in action. It says right here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. This is either true or it's not, okay? It says, there hath no temptation taken you. No temptation? How much is that? Ain't no temptation. Ain't no pretty woman. There ain't no chocolate ice cream. There's no temptation, boys, taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. If you're being tempted for it, you ain't the first one. But when you give in to the temptation gets a greater power over you. Okay? There's no temptation that comes upon you, but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that you are able. When a temptation comes, God has already given you a way out. He's already given you the way out. There's no temptation. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Can I tell you why some of you struggle with pornography or food or whatever? Can I tell you why it is? Simple. It's very simple. You're spiritually weak. You're spiritually weak, and you love your sin more than you love the Lord. This is so simple. This is so simple. And until we come to that realization that I'm choosing porn over a righteous Savior, until you come to that realization and understand what you're doing. But you say, well, Coach, I don't want to do it. I don't want to look at that porn. And hey, then break your freaking computer. Throw it out in the river. What do you mean you don't want to do it? You sit down, you hit the button, you go there. What do you mean you want to lose weight? Well, quit eating ice cream. Quit eating 4 helpings. See, there are some ways that you can lose weight without fasting. You can. You don't have to fast to lose weight. You simply have to control what you eat and control your exercise. Somebody say amen. This ain't amen. Science. I see people have perfectly formed bodies, amen. Muscular, 8 6 packs. They got everything. And they're as lost as you can be. So a lost guy can discipline his body. Why can't a saved guy discipline his body?
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Because we're not trained to do it, see? Our flesh is weak. And we don't understand our spirit's willing. So you say, man, I want to lose 20 pounds. I think I'm going to go on a fast. Well, okay. But you ain't fasting. You're on a diet. Call it whatever you want to. So what I'm going to try to help you guys walk through here, and my intentions, I'm going to tell you my intention. You do whatever you want. I'm going the month of February. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do because see, this is not, showing your muscles. Oh yeah, I went 5 days. I went 10 days. Oh yeah, I went 30. Oh yeah. No. This is a fast where you are sitting down on that weight room and the Lord, even if you can only curl 5 pounds, the Lord is teaching you to be able to curl that 5 pounds. Because once you get that 5 pounds, then he's going to advance you to 10 pounds and you're going to get stronger and stronger. But understand this. If your intention is weight loss, he ain't blessing it. Of course you'll lose weight. You don't eat. Of course you will. That's not the goal. It's not.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Is fasting, would that be part of working out your salvation through fear and trembling?
It is to me.
And understanding?
Let me share you a story of how this all came real to me. Most of you know I was sued by the American Civil can't even say it, the scumbags, in 2007 for having prayer with our football team. And on the 2nd of January, I was awakened in the middle of the night, sat up in my bed. I heard the voice of something. I heard an audible voice, and I sat up in my bed. Well, somebody in our house. And I heard the word fast. That's what woke me up. And I sat up and looked around. And I just said, okay, Lord, I'll fast. And then I laid my head back down and went to bed. Because I had a lifestyle of fasting. I'd fast like, 1 day or 2 days, you know, meal here. Or I'm not going to eat till tomorrow, whatever. Because you got to start somewhere. You got to start with 2 pounds, you know. And so I woke up that next morning. It was now the 3rd of January. I'm going to go back to school after the Christmas break. And I told Michelle as I was going out the door, I said, hey, honey, I'm starting to fast. I don't need supper tonight. And I went out the door and I went into the school and I walked into the office. In the office, I walked in and teachers all had their mailboxes up on the wall. And my mailbox is where it was. And I went over to my mail. Now, because I was a football coach, do weightlifting. I was in the school every day, even though we were off. But I always wasn't in there getting my mail. So I walked in there in my mailbox, and there's a book in there, stuck up in my mailbox. I reached up, and I pulled it out, and I looked at it, and it was a book written by Bill Bright. The guy started Campus Crusade for Christ, Athletes in Action, Bill Bright. You know what the name of the book was? The Power of the 40-Day Fast. I almost fell to my knees. I thought, who put this in my mailbox? And then I said, Lord, 40, are you kidding me? 40 days? So I didn't go after the 40-day fast. I just started fast. It became 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And I would go every day and I'd sit down at lunch with all of my friends and they'd come up with all this food that they got at the cafeteria and they'd be eating right in front of me. And I was not tempted in any way to eat. And I'll never forget, I was in church on the 28th day of my fast. That was 4 weeks. 28th day of my fast. And during praise and worship, no, it wasn't. It was during the sermon, the pastor talked about something, hunger and thirsting after righteousness. And it was like the Holy Spirit punched me right in the head and said, you don't hunger after me. So there I was 28 days without any food other than juice. I'd drinking juice. And I knew what it meant to be hungry. And I knew the Holy Spirit was right. I didn't hunger after him. Because when I was on that fast, can I tell you how often I thought of food? About every 15 seconds. But I had a grace beyond what I can ever tell you. So anyway, at the end of the 40 days, I finally came off my fast, and I would go back to church, and a lady came up to me, Lois came up to me and have a conversation. She says, Coach, I have a word for you, and I don't know, because I worry about personal words, right? She's like, oh. She said, I don't know what this means, but the Lord wants me to let you know that you got victory in the midst of your fast. The next day, out of the blue, I was called into the office and fired by my principal the next day. And the victory of the whole battle with the American Civil Liberties Union, that lady came to me and told me, the Lord wants you to know you've already got the victory and delivered to you in the midst of that fast. Now, the battle went on a long time, but you can't miss this. I was so strengthened in those 40 days that I was now able to go through things I would not have been able to go through had I not done that. Things that would have broken me down, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And the Lord was there to tell me, listen, you didn't score any brownie points, none of that kind of stuff, but I want you to know that a victory took place in your life in the midst of that fast, and you weren't even praying for that. You were just lifting the weights. That's all you were doing. You were just lifting the weights. But I want you to know you're now strong enough to face what's coming your way. boys, I'm telling you. And that became real for me, okay? So I'm not here today to tell you to go on a 40-day fast. If you have never fasted, never have, then I want you to, you're really interested in lifting weights. By the way, I didn't even tell, my best friends didn't even know I fasted. They didn't know it. 40 days without a bite of food. I drank juices. And I encourage you out there, if you guys are, maybe you want to fast lunch, drink a V8. Drink some apple juice. Drink something because it keeps the lower level fats burning. It keeps the body functioning. I would never do an all water. People do it. I wouldn't do just an all water fast, okay? But I would ask some of you out there, see how much time I have. Oh, man. I'd ask some of you out there, the Lord will tell you what it is. The Lord's going to tell you what it is. And say, okay, Lord, maybe I'm not going to eat meat. Or maybe I'm going to not eat lunch. I'm not going to have any lunch. From breakfast to supper, I'm not going to eat anything.
Dave?
Yes?
I think you're being soft. What I'm hearing is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing is some sin to be defeated needs fasting. Is that too extreme?
Well, the Bible says that something only comes out with prayer and fasting. I didn't get a chance to get to my sheet yet. That's what it says. See, you listen, the Lord's already done everything he can do for you. Some of these things he's given to you through the Spirit to exercise yourself to develop your own strength. There's no temptation. He has given you a way out. You have to learn how to do it. You have to learn to be able to lift it. So part of it, Roger, is that we're just beginning to lift the weights. Some guys are at 220. Some guys are at 110. That's okay wherever you are. Come on, man. Start moving the weight. Yes, Dale.
My first fast as a newborn believer in Christ, brother, I had no idea what I was fasting about. But, brother, was in the midst of the third day of my fast that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
So there is power in that fast, you know, for some people. You know, I mean, that was what it was for me.
You know, it says, the Bible says, I'm sorry, I don't mean, when you guys say something, I don't mean to ignore what you said. I'm my mind's racing. Listen, here's what I want you to know. When you fast something that's a strong desire, hey, don't give up Coke unless you drink a lot of Cokes, you know. Make it be something significant that you give it up, like Lent. That's where I learned that. I know this. When I go on a fast, I'm constantly thinking about food. And Larry, it makes me listen to the Lord. When I get hungry, it reminds me of the Lord. It reminds me to call out to him for the strength that I need to be able to continue to withstand this urge. And if you are on a Holy Spirit fast, if you're called on a Holy Spirit fast and the Holy Spirit's in it, you'll have more than the power that you need to be able to do it. I'm just telling you. Now, when I go on a fast, I'm going to go on a juice only fast. I'm going to do that. The first 24 hours, you don't know if you're ever going to live. You don't know if you're going to see the next day. Most of them. The next day, it's a little bit better. And then I always find about the third day, the grace comes, man. It just comes. And it's not a constant state of hunger. There's a constant reminder of food, but it's not a constant state of hunger. Okay? Now, understand this also. Some of you out there physically. The physiological, the actual natural benefits of fasting are phenomenal. Scientific research has shown that a 3-day fast, no food fast, that's not what I'm calling you on to. Please hear me. But if you go 3 days without food, it totally resets your immune system. It detoxifies you, it purifies you, a lot of stuff. You got to be putting fluids in. You got to be drinking and all that stuff. So I don't want to beat this up. I want to take a few more questions. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to, tonight is the end of January. At sundown tonight, I am beginning my fast. And if you would like to take part in it, please listen. Don't go get on the weight machine. If you've never fasted, don't go get on the weight machine and try to squat 500 pounds. Look at something in your life that you enjoy that matters to you and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start with that. And I'm going to give that up. And every time I think of that ice cream, I'm going to pray and acknowledge you. And I want you, Lord, to help me become more spiritually strong. One of the biggest mistakes that you'll make is you'll try to, you really want to lift that weight. And you try to do too much. Hey, my sweetie's here. You try to do too much. You try to bite off more than you can chew. Take something that you know you can handle. Whether it be, I'm not going to eat lunch. I'm not going to eat supper. I'm not going to snack. Whatever it is, start with that. And then even in the midst of that fast, you may get 3 days into it and you say, you know what? I'm going to do this too. Not only am I not going to eat lunch, I'm not going to eat any sweets, whatever that might be. Or how about this? I'm going to fast and I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to read a chapter in my Bible. That's how you develop the spiritual strength. You don't get any brownie points for doing something above and beyond. It's not like you're showing off. It's not like you're Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Lord sees what you're doing. He understands what's doing. You're not moving him. He's moving you. He's moving you. If you learn to let your spirit man, empower your natural man. That's what it's all about. Great strength. Okay. Questions, comments, whatever. I'm starting it tonight. At sundown tonight, my fast begins. You figure out what that might be.
Sounds good.
Anybody?
That sounds great.
I think there's great power in a corporate fast. Now, listen. I only got 3 minutes here. A couple things. Number one, the Lord will let you know when it's time to come off. You don't get brownie points for going 10 days, 12 days, 20 days. I mean, you don't. Listen to the Holy Spirit. When I go on an extended fast, I just know when it's okay to eat. And I don't like to use that term okay to eat. You get a release that it's okay. So again, right now, whatever it is that you're going to begin fasting with me, with us tonight, right now, decide what that is and just be faithful to it. Whatever. I'm not going to watch any television. Not going to turn on Limbaugh. I mean, whatever it would be. Lord, I'm giving this up because I want you to change me. I want you to change me. And then go at it. Couple minutes. Anybody? Questions? I had a sheet I was going to get to. I never really got to this morning on. But I think that we will find collectively great, great spiritual power.
Hey,
because
Coach,
I believe that the Lord's going to do something great through what we're doing here. And it's a real sense of togetherness if we're sacrificing together. Yeah, George?
Hey, would like fresh squeezed lemon juice and water the juice?
Yes. Now, I get juices. I have, like, I'll go out and get a big thing of orange juice, or I like to go get that V8 type stuff. And at lunch, I drink a V8. Hey, I could add a V8. Well, I do. That's what I do. And what it does, again, it keeps, I don't want to be too graphic. It keeps your digestive system flowing. You do have bowel movements. You do. And one of the greatest things you're going to be facing is dehydration. So drink water. But to do an all water fast, man, that's tough. I don't do that. I do juice fast. So some of you may just want to, start and you just want to, okay, say, Coach, I'm going to give up lunch. Okay. Well, then drink a juice at lunch. Now, when you do that, that don't mean to hog out at 1:30. Say, oh, well, I gave up lunch. Now I'm going to hog out here. No. Have it be a set period of time. I'm working out. I'm going to work out during this period of time. And it could be cigarettes. It could be, hey, Jeff, you want to get rid of cigarettes? Learn to fast, man. If you can't control what you eat, you're never going to control what you smoke. How much time I got? Man, 8 o'clock. Okay. We're going to do it tonight. You don't have to. We don't get brownie points. I don't brag to everybody.
Yeah,
I ain't just stayed 14. I ain't had nothing to eat in 14 days. No. You're bragging. You're missing the point. The Lord is changing you. You're not changing him. You're not scoring brownie points. He is teaching you spiritual self-discipline, self-control. What a glorious thing that is. So, sundown tonight. If you want to join us, think of something that you are going to lay before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm laying this sacrifice before you. Strengthen me. Help me become stronger in my walk with you. It'll pay dividends down the road. God bless you. See you tomorrow.